Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, you're now live on the Middleman Talk Show on blogtalkradio.com, and I'm Alan.
This is Kevin.
This is Nick.
And we're waiting for Jen.
Always late.
She has to stop by the beauty supply store.
Yeah, it's all good.
Man, how's everybody doing this week, man? I feel like I'm almost feeling like how Kevin felt last week, man.
What was that, sick?
A little bit.
Yeah, this weather, man.
I'm just happy to be back in Georgia.
Yeah, we talked about you pretty bad on Talk of the Town with the cow tipping.
Well, damn.
How was it tipping them cows?
Man, let me tell you something. You know what? Shout out to Arkansas. They got some beautiful scenery out there. That's all I'm going to say.
That's all I think.
That's all I'm going to say on the air. We're going to have to talk about Arkansas there. We as a people have to do better. That's all I'm going to say.
Ain't one of them Florida Evans moment, is it?
We as a people have to do much better. It's ridiculous. We're going to talk about it off the air, though.
Damn.
Just random acts of niggerdom. That's all I can say.
That is funny. That is too funny.
How far back is Arkansas if you're not scared to say?
They just entered the 70s.
Wasn't it?
They just entered the 70s.
Oh, man.
That's horrible.
That is too funny.
Speaking of Talk of the Town, man, we just had a great show, man, this past Thursday, man, talking about
criticism.
Constructive criticism.
Constructive criticism.
I couldn't get that out there, man.
You gotta be constructive with it.
You gotta be constructive with it, man. Everybody can't take criticism, and we were talking about it from a personable aspect and an entertainment aspect. You know how a lot of artists are not able to have you talk to them in a manner in which it's helpful to them and help them become stronger.
Yeah.
You have a lot of people out there, man, that look, you just came in the building, y'all.
I know my clock is wrong. It's like 30 minutes. My clock is 5:34. So I'm thinking I'm on time. I'm so sorry.
Right.
It really does. I was like, you know, like,
I'm going to constructively criticize you right now. Constructively criticize you right now.
Any big.
I'm about to do
that.
Coming up in here with one finger up like you in church.
It is too cold for that right now. It's just too cold.
Oh, man.
Horrible.
Too cold to be late.
Oh, my gosh. I am like, you know what? We have to have, like, a grace period or something. Like, I'm only 4 minutes late, like, in reality time.
How do we have a grace period for a radio show? What is that? We're going to start the show at 6:05.
That's that Negro time.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, man.
But back to the Talk of the Town, man. If y'all get the opportunity, go to blogtalkradio.com/the middleman. Check out that show right there. And our feature show for this week is Gay Bling. Is Gay the New Black? That's what it is, right?
That's the show.
Is that this week?
Yeah, that's the feature
show.
That's one of the feature shows.
Wow.
It's the new military, that's for sure.
It's Black Being the New Gay or something like that.
How
can I forget the title?
just, Kev, you can't even get people names right.
Anyway. Right.
I mean, you know, dude, simple like names it's I cool. can do. Simple names I can do.
No. Mm-mm. Nice. You was calling Dr. Jamie Reed Reese, Jamal Reed.
Yeah, he called him hey. Dr. James Reese. I mean, that's it all the way.
Did he get mad? No.
Mm-mm.
He's respectful. It's cool. Hey, man, forget y'all. Appreciate everybody that's listening in to the show today. We appreciate everybody that's on the internet, worldwide web, listening to
yes,
us
sir.
This week. Hey, man, we got a great show in line for you guys today. Hell,
it's
let everybody
down.
Know. Yeah, let everybody know we're talking about. Don't sing again, please. Please, sir.
Look, man, y'all don't respect me, okay? Anyway, title of today's show, of course, The Talk, The Birds and the Bees. Now, to look at that, you automatically know somewhat our angle in which we may want to come at you with this. But we're going to knock y'all upside the head with something different. Now, of course, in today's society, highly influenced by sexuality. Now, due to the lack of education about sexuality, some of us are uncomfortable about talking about sex and sexuality. Now, some of our parents, the school systems, churches, are not making any type of effort to teach about sex and sexuality because maybe they were not properly taught themselves. Also, now some of these which we're going to point out today is if we as an adult were not properly educated about sex, how can we educate others about sex? Why do some people, as far as in modern society, put a stigma on those who are virgins? And also today, why does society of today make it seem like it's cool to have premarital sex? We see it all on TV. We see it on our children's teenage shows as far as them leading up to wanting to have sex or have that scene where they kiss and then, they have that look like they about to get ready to go to the back room. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. And also, are the parents to blame for our children becoming oversex due to not teaching them about sex and sexuality? And does not educating ourselves properly increase the chances of a child experimenting with their own sexuality?
Yeah.
If you want to hear what Bob got to say out there, if you're on the line, make sure you press one on your phone. We'll get to you. If you're on the chat board, place your comments there. We'll definitely read them if you say something that needs to be said over the air.
And I just hope that people have some great comments today. People, you want to call in, the phone lines are open. 718-508-9972. These phone lines are wide open today. And
yes, sir.
Somewhat the angle, just to add on what Al was saying, a lot of us in our adult years right now, I don't think we were taught, a lot of us, some of us, may have not been taught the proper way of sexuality. And I think that's something that we all dealt with and probably still some of us are still dealing with. So if you feel comfortable with sharing that today and you ain't too scared to share it, hey, call in. We would love to hear your story. You don't have to say
if you
know name,
that come with her look in your eye.
Nick,
wow.
We're going to send you back to Arkansas. Keep talking.
Hell no, you ain't, man.
We're going to drop you off in Arkansas, him. But let's get right into it, y'all. What we're going to do right here, we have a clip that we're going to start off with, and it kind of leads into what I was just talking about where, and Al also mentioned, how can we teach someone else about sex and we don't know or we don't feel comfortable talking about sex? If you go to our Facebook page, make sure you add us as a friend on Facebook. You can see the whole entire clip. It's about a 25-minute-long clip about sex education for real. So I want y'all to pay close attention to the first part and the ending. It's kind of hard for some of us to sit down and talk to our children about it because, like I said, a lot of us haven't been taught the proper way to talk about sex and learn about sex ourselves. So we're going to get into this first clip right here. Sex education for real. This is a scared parent right here talking about sex. She don't want to talk about it. You're listening to the Blog Talk Radio Middleman. Hey, we're here. Live, Sunday. Going down.
The Blog Talk Radio Middleman.
Yeah.
Play the clip, man.
we'll discuss this during the break.
Yeah, we will. Here we go, y'all.
Oh, hey, sugar. So how's school?
Okay, I guess. Mom, can I ask you a question?
Sure, honey.
Is it true that you won't get pregnant after you had sex for the first time?
Who told you that?
Well, it's just some girls in my school were talking today, and they said that you can't get pregnant after the first time.
Well, it's not true.
Oh. Well, how does sex work? And babies. I mean, I took biology and everything, but I still want to...
Cut some tomatoes.
Yeah.
My mom didn't talk to me about sex. It was one of those, like, I don't want to know if you're doing it, you know, just be careful.
Hey, actually, my parents didn't teach me anything about sex. They kind of left it up to the school to teach me. I mean, I got like to talk like most kids, but they didn't really go into detail or anything.
That was a clip right there from the documentary Sex Education for Real.
Where are these people
know,
at?
Huh?
Where are these people from in this documentary?
Well, it's not necessarily a documentary. It's some young kids, you know, talking about sexual education and some of the things they go through. But you can go on the Facebook page and check that out. But as you see, it started off, and you got to really catch the visual of it. There's a young lady, she walks into the home, and her mom is in there cooking and having herself a good time. And she sits down at the table and wanted to ask her, "Hey, mom, is it true that you can get pregnant on your first time having sex?" And the mom got kind of flustered by that. And she was looking at it like, how, you know, where you hear that from? How did you know about that? Or what do you know about that? So the young girl just proceeds to tell her, you know, what she heard and whatnot. And the mom got flustered and was like, "Hey, we'll talk about this later. Here, cut this tomato up for the food." And walks off. And that, to me, is a sight that we see more so than others nowadays, because there are a lot of parents that are not prepared to talk to their kids or children or young adults about sex.
I think on the flip side of that, a lot of teens aren't that brave enough to go to their parents and even ask them a question like that. Even now at 29 years old, I'm not going to go to my mom and ask her a question like that. I'm just not. And I know a lot of teens, young men and women out there aren't asking those types of questions to their parents.
Well, as you see at the end of the clip and in the mid of the clip, a lot of the kids were talking about how they learn from their friends and everybody else that's surrounding them, you know,
yep.
Because like you just said, if you have that fear, you won't be able to approach an adult to talk to them, because if you can remember when you were younger, you know, it was kind of hard to go and speak to an adult about sex and learn it properly. I know a lot of people that learn from porn. Let's keep it real. We're going to keep it straight 100 today.
Most young men learn from porn.
Yeah.
Learn what from porn?
About sex?
Learn what from porn?
About sex?
Jim, you got to think, I can't speak for young
women,
but for young men.
I guess that's why most women's first sexual experiences are horrific, because little boys are out there learning from porn.
Yeah. Well, you know how many kids have access to porn? Like, you got to think about it. When we were kids, unless your older cousin had that tape that they stashed the label off the top. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the VHS tape.
Yeah.
There wasn't much access. There wasn't much access to porn. You look at it nowadays, these kids, all of them have computers. They have smartphones. They can get porn in any type of fashion. But for most young men and for a lot of young women, their first exposure to sex was through watching porn or seeing somebody else or finding their father's magazines or finding their older brother or older sister's tape.
Yep, you're right, Nick. Find that one little
stash. It's as common as breathing, almost.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it's not even the fact that the young ladies have a bad experience from it. I think both are having a bad experience from it, because if the girl is not taught properly, the guy's not taught properly, it's going to be bad overall. But emotionally speaking, and just speaking from a long-term effect on them, that's why a lot of people have their perception on sex as they do now, because of that first exposure, instead of someone that they can trust and love coming to them saying, "Hey, this is what it is." I remember when I was like 9 years old, 9 or 8, my uncle came to me, one of my other uncles, came to me, was like, "Hey, man, you had that sex yet?" And that ain't how he said it. You know, I'm looking like, I'm 9 years old. I'm like, man, I'm still playing with G.I. Joes and Transformers. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I mean, dude, that was like the awkwardest situation to me. You know, I don't mind sharing this with y'all family out there. But as awkward as it was, you know, it put in my mind that, hey, this is something I'm going to need to know about. And there was occasions where, like my younger cousin, hey, he had porn. You know, he had the VHS, the scratched off label, Nick. You know, I walk in there, I'm looking, what you watching? And, you know, like, you know, you just don't get the right impression of it. But let's get into this, y'all. Let's get into it. Anybody out there that want to comment, 718-508-9972, the phone lines are open. Y'all go ahead and handle it. I got to do something over here right quick.
Well, I'll go from my experience, cause Jen, like I said, it's just like Kev said, it's not just men. It's not just women that have horrible experiences the first time. It's men too, because that lack of education is there. My first time, and I started way earlier than I should have. My first time, I didn't know that women more often than not bled on their first time having sex.
Oh, did you get freaked out?
Man, it scared the hell out of me. I mean, come on now. Any guy that looks down and you see blood on you, you just like, I didn't have sex again for 2.5 years. I'll put it that way.
Wow.
It was 2.5 years before I had sex again. It freaked me out because it was just that lack of education. That lack of education.
I will say this. I sent you guys, and we'll post this up on Facebook as well, that the campaign for a commercial-free childhood says that teen girls who watch more than 14 hours of rap videos are more likely to have multiple sex partners and be diagnosed with an STD. So relying on, like, sexy video, music videos, and porn seems to be leading kids down, like, the wrong path. What do you guys think about that?
I think it goes back to something that Jamie Foxx said. You know, a lot of times people in the spotlight, they don't like to claim responsibility for the role, the impact that they have on the youth. But he said something a few weeks ago that really kind of hit home with that. He was just saying that as entertainers, athletes, all that, we raise the children. It's up to the parents to guide them through what's right and what's wrong. So even with that exposure being out there, there has to be some type of unit within there that's saying, hey, this is not right, this is wrong, especially for young girls. You got to think, I will say this much, for music videos, they toned down a lot. If you guys remember back in like 2001, 2002, it was just extra raunchy.
Yeah.
It seemed like after Jay-Z did Big Pimp, and it was like, okay, let's put thongs on every girl in the video. Let's have balls. We're going to spray them down with champagne. And, like, these young girls see that, and just like Jen said, they see that, and they, you know, perception is reality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't ignore the statistics. To them, it's like, okay, if nobody's here telling me that, hey, this isn't wrong, this isn't what really goes on. This isn't right, you know. If somebody's up there telling that young girl that, then it's not going to matter. Same thing with the young guy. If that's all you see, if all you see is the people that you idolize, objectify women, and no one's there to tell you, hey, look, that's fake. Those women are getting paid to do that. You know, this is not, 9 times out of 10, the rapper doesn't even own any of that that's on TV. Like, they don't know. They just think it's okay to objectify women. Same thing with them watching porn.
I think it's true, too. And I think that going back to the clip and relating this to what we were just talking about, that a lot of the times, a lot of teens aren't that brave. I know a lot of kids who are not going to ask their parents these blatant sex, like, questions. They're relying on the porn and the videos. And, you know, I don't know what we can do to get kids talking about it or to make them feel more comfortable.
The thing with that, as far as, you know, a lot of it has to do with the parents not being able to relay that information due to them probably have not have asked their parents, and their parents may have not gave them a avenue of how to give an answer to a question like that, because they have never asked that. They probably wanted to ask a question.
Exactly.
They were about that, but they don't know how to give a response to that because they're not properly prepared to answer that question. And then that's where the curiosity grows within the parent and then also the children, because now the parent is thinking, okay, what is my child really thinking? And then what am I not doing as a parent to actually answer all these questions? What about all those questions that I have as an adult that I do not know how to answer, as far as knowing about STDs, being familiar with all types of sexuality, you know, the causes of it, the triggers, you know, to having, you know, sexuality and no particular thoughts, because we see now that, you know, our society is, you know, it's very open now to everything, you know, versus 20, 30, 40 years ago, you didn't see a lot of people, but as far as being homosexual was not in a open array as it is now, you know, like, you know, now, you know, we see children, you know, they experiment, so.
Yeah.
But
let's go ahead and take this caller. Caller 215-279,
you on the Middleman Talk Show. You have a comment?
Good evening, folks. This is the Asian
Abomination, Don Calypso. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I am doing well. I just wanted to bring in something, like I put in the chat room. for you guys to discuss. The fact that in addition to the over-sexualization, all those, you know, all those signals in the culture to tell kids to have sex early, the flip side of it, because women complain about the double standard, you know, men are free to do whatever, but girls are called whores. But the guy who does listen and says, you know what, the women are right, we should keep it in our pants, we should be more responsible, those guys get clowned way more by women than they do by their peers. And that's another problem. There is an even bigger stigma on a guy being a virgin. The same women who complain that, you know, it's wrong for a woman to be called a whore for expressing sexuality, they're the first one to really publicly humiliate a guy. And think about this. Anytime there's a relationship topic on BTR, listen to some host, especially the black feminist. What the first thing they're gonna ask a guy is, do you have a woman, or you must, you know, do you get laid? Are you
must
a virgin?
Be gay.
First insult is not even you must be gay. You must not be getting any pussy. But yeah, they come.
Well, yeah,
that's all
true.
We think about.
Yeah.
So I know your female panelists might want to chop my head off. I don't know, but
no,
but
I agree with you. I don't want to chop your head off because I agree with you. I know it must be fearful for a lot of boys that choose to you know, be virgins until they're married or until, you know, they're ready. I know that they do get. I've seen it done myself, and you know, I think that's sad.
Are you saying you've done that to someone?
Guys are going to respect it. Other guys, they might clown them, but they'll respect it. The women will diss them hard. That's the most disingenuous part about it all.
Yeah. Well,
because there's something wrong in our society where women have, you know, equate. I think some women's understanding of manhood has been misconstrued throughout the years, and what we define as men and what being a real man is, and I think a lot of young women now have the wrong impression on what defines a man and a real man, and I think that might be the source of some of that negative response for guys who do decide to be virgins.
Yeah, and
I want to take it a little bit deeper than that. Well, one, you have to think about it. Most of the younger generation, and I say most, not all, but most of the younger generation, and even some of ours, a good bit of ours, haven't seen what a real man is. They don't know what a real man is because they never met one, not at length. They may have seen one, like they may see somebody that's handling their business. They see what's going on the outside, but they don't know that there's a lot that goes on, you know, on a daily basis. Prime example, Jen, in your looking at you, like with your father, you know, just from talk we've had, your father, he seems like he's an amazing man. You've seen the parts of him that the public doesn't see. From the public standpoint, yeah, he's handling this business, but he's also vulnerable. He also, you know, he takes care of his family. He loves his family. He, you know, he's passionate about it. A lot of times men get, we get talked about for being passionate about certain things. You know, with men, it's supposed to be, oh, you know, you stay hard about this, you stay the rock for this, you stay the rock for that. But no, when you love something and you're passionate about it, it just is what it is. And so since a lot of people haven't seen that on a consistent basis, they don't know. So when they see a guy that says, you know what, I'm saving myself for my wife, they think, oh, he's soft, or he's gay, or he's this, or he's that, or he's got, even another, oh, he's got something, that's why he ain't having sex. You know, it's because they don't have an example to go by. And because they don't have that example to go by, they can't compare it by anything else.
Can I add another quick thing on that also? Sometimes what I hear a lot of women say, again, not all, so don't call it not all, please, but especially a lot of black women on BTR, especially those of the feminist persuasion, is, oh, I ain't got time to teach no man how to please me. He better come, he better be packing like 10 inches, and he better know exactly how to please me. Newsflash. You're supposed to learn from your partner. There's a reason why there's a biblical prohibition against premarital sex. It's not about controlling a woman's sexuality, making her some kind of slave. It's because, you know, if you believe in God, and you believe that God is all-knowing, all-powerful, and loves you, God knows you full well that when you go ahead and have sex early on, not knowing the psychological ramifications, that you will get sprung. You get this bonding at the neurochemical level from oxytocin. When you have sex with someone regularly, especially if you have orgasms, you get hooked on that person. So that's why you get ladies you know, they want to try to do like men because their feminist teachers teach them you can do anything a man can do. And they go around, they get loose and crazy, and they end up getting hooked on Pookie, Ray Ray, or Dayquil. And after they've been with Jasper St. Jacques and Lex the Impaler, when they meet Mr. Goodbar, who'd make the great husband, they can't bond with him, and they end up cheating because the guy, you know, they're still stuck on the guy who was blowing their back out, even if that guy wasn't worth shit outside of sex. But again, that's just a hateful abomination, and I digress.
Did you say Dayquil? What was his name?
Pookie, Ray Ray, Dayquil, Jaquan, Shantavius, you know, those guys that show up on the Maury show.
I got you. I think
and
the
no
difference,
offense to
I think the difference is, and I don't
want to
put this all on women. There are a lot of psychological ramifications that come with it for men, too. It's just that, once again, we're not taught, and this is a lack of education, we're not taught to express our feelings in the right way. So, you know, we might hold it back. There's a lot of psychological ramifications. One thing that I realize is that with parents and grandparents, they have an opinion about everything except for sex.
Yeah.
Think about this. They got an opinion on the government. They got an opinion on your education, on how you should live your life. They got an opinion on everything about sex. Because the moment you mention sex, everybody gets nervous, palms start sweating. Because it's like Al said earlier, they weren't properly taught themselves. You know, and honestly, looking at it, anyone who has kids or anybody who is raising kids, it's understandable why you feel that way, because of the fact that for someone that you've changed the diapers of, you can't possibly imagine them coming up, you, them coming up to you and saying, "Is it okay to have oral sex?" Don't nobody want to hear their child say that. But these are things that the child they're encountering at school every day. They're hearing these stories about other kids that are doing this and doing that. And they want to know these things. It's just it's very difficult to talk about. And because you didn't talk about it with your parents, you have no basis to start that conversation. We all know how to talk about sex with our friends.
True.
We all know how to talk about it with kids.
Well, that leads into a very interesting question. A lot of teens and a lot of preteens do not consider oral sex as sex. They really do not believe that oral sex is sex. Like, what do you guys
I
think
about
that?
I blame Bill
sex?
Clinton. That's Bill Clinton's fault, because until Slick Willie came around, everybody knew it was sex. But when Slick Willie said, "I did not have sexual relations with that woman, oral sex is not sex," kids rode the bandwagon. So I blame that one on Bill Clinton. And yes, it was not a black man who did it, but I digress.
Exactly. But it's the bandwagon. Let me tell you something. Kids are a lot smarter than people give them credit for. These kids are so much smarter, and they have so much more access to information than we've ever had. They know that it's sex. That's just a justification. A lot of people think, oh, if I just say it, like, prime example, a lot of young girls will have oral and anal sex, but because they've not had vaginal sex, they'll still claim to be a virgin. No, it don't work like that. But they know that. They know these things, and they use it as a justification. So they're a lot smarter than that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
now, as far as, you know, adults, you know, for everyone who's listening on the line and also on the chat board, as far as adults, if you were not properly educated about sex, how can you educate others? That could be other adults. That could be teens who are coming into adulthood. That could be our teens, our children as well, too, because if we don't teach them anything or tell them what it is, they're going to do what? They're going to go seek and find it anyway. And then now, pretty much television, the only thing that we don't see on television is penetration. So, the next stop in the next 5 years, if, you know, these FCC laws, you know, keep getting bent, we're going to see some penetration. So we might as well go ahead.
Elementary,
on
my dear Watson. Elementary, my dear Watson. They have to read. And Wikipedia does not count because it is not a peer-reviewed primary source. Ooh, I forgot. Niggas don't read. Never mind. Scratch that. Carry on.
We appreciate that, Don. We're about to play a second clip that we have. We appreciate you for holding. If you got another comment, make sure you press 1 again on your phone. We got another clip that we're going to play. Kevin, what's the name of the clip we're going to do?
All right, this second clip is also from the Sex Education for Real video. This is right here from a woman that wrote a book. And basically, she's just expressing, you know, the things that we need to be able to talk to our children about sex. Y'all check this out. All right, there we go.
As a mom of three boys ranging from age 3 to 12, I think it's so important to give our kids the resources and the tools that they need to live healthy, long, successful lives. And part of that is really educating them, not only around their bodies, but around sexuality. For so many years, I've been working with parents to help them with the tools they need to raise sexually healthy kids. And so this book is really a culmination of all that I've learned through the years about what goes into raising a sexually healthy child, and also based on all the feedback that I've gotten through the years. Sex education actually starts at birth. From a very early age, there are tasks as your children's sex educator that you should be focusing on. So for instance, in early childhood and toddlerhood, you're really focusing on teaching them the correct names of their body parts, setting the foundation for positive body image and self-esteem. As they move into later childhood and get close to adolescence, you may be talking to them more about the physical changes and the emotional changes that they should expect as they move through adolescence. As they get older, you're starting to talk to them more about the specifics of sexuality, what you expect out of a romantic relationship, out of potentially a sexual relationship. It's an ongoing process, and at each stage of development, children face different challenges. This book, Talking to Your Kids About Sex, really guides parents through each of those stages so that they know what and how to address those challenges that their children face at every stage of development. A good portion of the book really helps parents understand the benefits and, in fact, the risks of the internet and the World Wide Web and the networking sites, and the ways in which children and teenagers can be at risk not only for sexual predators, but for being bombarded with sexual information that they aren't ready for and that they can't process. The gift that we have as parents is that if we take the opportunity, we can set the context, we can set the values. You don't want to wait for that to be set by their friends or the media. You want to keep setting that and reinforcing that all the way through their childhood into adolescence.
All right, and that was the second clip right there from Sex Education for Real. Y'all have to excuse me today. I am trying to breathe over here.
It's all good, man. You got that Theraflu yet?
No. I didn't use all that.
I'm going to CVS, Doc.
I live and die by Theraflu. It works. It's like the only thing that works.
Oh, yeah. All right.
All right, if you just tuned in to The Middleman, we are talking about the talk, the birds and the bees. They had a great conversation right before that clip right there. What do y'all think about some of the things the good doctor was talking about as far as things we need to focus on teaching the kids?
We need to get rid of the fear of sex. I think that, you know, like she said that, you know, teaching kids, you know, their body parts, and knowing that teaching kids about sex comes in stages. And I think if you start very young and teaching them appropriately at a young age, I think that, you know, they may turn up a little bit differently.
Right. But if the adult was not properly educated about that, what should they do? I mean, who should they call? Who should they, you know, go to actually be able to relay this information appropriately to their child? I mean, you can, you know, because a lot of people won't go and pick up a book on the front hand. They're rather either try to relay the information on their own from their own experiences, or maybe if they know somebody, go talk to somebody. I mean, what should they do in that particular sense?
Well, I think that there's a lot of wonderful resources. Like, I know that the media tries to demonize Planned Parenthood, but, you know, there's a lot of resources in your town, your churches, your pastors, your medical centers, your clinics, your teen centers. I know probably every town in America has a teen center or Planned Parenthood that you could go visit with your child and find all that out.
But this is one particular topic that people don't like to discuss outside their comfort zone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that for me, what happened to me was, like, my mother had talked to me about sex. But when I came to an age where she knew that, you know, I probably was making sexual decisions, you know, we went to the doctor together. It was my first gynecological visit. And, you know, she just kind of posed questions out for my gynecologist and then, like, asked if I had any questions also. And then, you know, and then she gave me an opportunity to speak to the gynecologist alone also, you know. So if I didn't feel comfortable with her, that I could talk to my doctor by myself and ask any questions. And I think that was great.
But you know what, Jen, and I'm Nick, you can definitely come in after me, but it's just like in America, you know, and especially in our community, sex is a taboo that's just crazy. We don't want to talk about it. We'll have it up a storm, and we're perceived to be overly sexual or sexualized beings. But when it comes to us discussing it to our kids and the importance of understanding that sex is not a bad word, because number one, if it wasn't for sex, there wouldn't be a you, me, or anybody that's on this phone line right now. And if we want to teach this to our kids, we have to be properly trained and to have a good relationship with our mates. We have to know and understand what we're talking about. On you, Nick.
Well, one thing I think that we could do, one way to start, like I said, the parents have to be educated first. So as many times as we have these parent-teacher conferences and things like that, you know, I think at a certain point, prime example, they're starting to give condoms out in the fourth grade. Okay, before you start to give condoms out in the fourth grade, why would you not have a specialized parent-teacher conference? Send a letter home, an email, make a call. Hey, according to statistics, these are the times when the kids are starting to question sex, wonder about sex. So we would like to schedule a conference so that we can, you know, get some type of guideline together. Because they're gonna ask someone, now whether it be an older brother, an older cousin, mom, dad, teacher, whomever, they're gonna ask someone before they get curious enough to go out and start trying it on their own. So as many conferences and as many letters as the school sends about selling candy and doing this and we need the parents on this, they need to have, because the parents do need to be educated. Because a lot of parents, yep, do not know how to approach, I don't know how to approach a situation like that. Somebody thinking about their child coming up and saying, hey, you know, I'm thinking about busting it open. How do you really break that down for a kid?
Jane.
Because your first instinct is to say sex is wrong, you should wait till you're married. But the likelihood that that's going to happen is low.
Mm-hmm.
Especially nowadays. Just like Al was talking about a couple months ago with that school in Memphis when it was like 90% of the population either had kids or was pregnant. They need to know how to attack it. The parents need to know how to attack it. And it needs to be a collaborative effort between the educators and the parents. You can call for everything else.
Hey,
I think that's
comment?
True, but I think that, you know, like then, like we said in that previous show, a lot of parents aren't taking responsibility. Many schools now, I don't know about where you guys are from, but I live in the Bible Belt. And there are no schools in the Bible Belt that even have sex education. The only thing that is taught is abstinence. And sex education or education in about AIDS or STDs or anything to that matter is not taught or spoken upon in schools. They just refuse to.
I can't necessarily agree with that. I mean, Jen, without giving away my age, hell, we had sex education classes when I was in elementary, and I grew up in Mississippi, as much as people try to talk about Mississippi, I'm just saying. But, and that was in the early 90s. Don't tell everybody my age.
Well, they don't. They do not now. They do not now. Schools in the South do not. They do not anymore.
Well, let's talk about, you know, the churches. I mean, since, you know, we've all are, you know, are from the Bible Belt. I feel like church should have an influence on actually, you know, having classes about this. Because why not get the information you need to get from where you get everything else from? The church.
Yeah.
Supposedly now. Supposedly.
But you know what, man?
He's learned about life in the church.
You know what, man? No. This right here, I don't know if the church is going to be the appropriate place, because there are some things that the church is not going to go into the context of saying because of religion.
They're going to teach abstinence.
Yeah, that's the
first
thing they're going to teach. Which,
you know, is the appropriate place. Because if you cannot talk about, you know, certain things outside of church that you want to talk about in church? I mean, you know, you're supposed to be able to talk about any and everything in church.
But your preacher is not going to encourage you to practice safe sex. Your preacher is not going to encourage you to get on birth control. Because, of course, I know in Christianity they're not.
Why not? Here's the thing about it. The smart preacher, the smart church will realize that this is a reality. You can sit here and you can preach abstinence all day, but when you got 14, 15, 16-year-old girls sitting in the congregation, you know, 5 months dilated, then it's time to say, hey, we need to take some action. If they're going to have sex, then we need to properly educate them on the good and bad about sex. They need to know this. Mm-hmm. It's just like we always say, it takes a village. You can't say it's just on the parents, because it takes a village to raise a child. And that child might not always be comfortable talking to the parent about it. You can't sit up there and just look at the problem and ignore. That's what's wrong with us now. We see the problem,
but according to,
like,
teachings of a church, I mean, let's be realistic. According to teachings of a church, they're not going to teach you that. They're not going to teach you about condoms. They're not going to encourage premarital sex, because they think about if they tell you about these things, it's interpreted as, I know it's not, but I'm saying, like, that's why many churches aren't doing it now, because they associate with learning that with encouraging children to have sex. So, you know, how do we change churches' minds? I don't think we are.
But it's not about, you know, encouraging premarital sex. It's about teaching them about it in general. Just educating about it, educating the parents about how to respond to certain things, educating the children about letting them know that their body's going to be going through certain, you know, changes when they become adults, and how to deal with it, how to deal with it appropriately and not to be ashamed of it. You know, that's what I'm saying about it. Because if they're not getting to that school where the school is supposedly had sex ed, we need to be doing it in the church, man. I mean, you know, we talk about any and everything else in church. We fight in church, argue in church. We talk about people in church. Why not talk about sex in church?
And it's a whole lot of sex going on in church, too. Let's be real about it.
But I think your conversations about sex in church are going to be in the confounds of you should not have sex. When in reality, kids are making decisions
to
have sex.
That you have to look at it like this, though. The church is changing. The church is changing. Because if you remember 50 years ago, you'd have been excommunicated from the church.
Yeah.
It's changing. It's changing slow. It just needs to change at a faster pace. It needs to be addressed in church. You have to think, for a kid like me who spent 4 to 5 days out of the week in church, yeah, you need to have that set, because you're gonna learn about it there, but you're going to learn about it either the right way or the wrong way, because there's going on in church.
There you go.
Please believe.
There you go.
So there's a whole lot of it going on in church.
Most definitely. Most definitely. Now, I want to move into this next question as far as, why do some people in modern society make it seem like it's cool to have premarital sex? You know, it's like that thing to do. If you see it, I mean, we see it on our TV shows. We see it on, like, the teen shows now. And, like, it's even on the Disney Channel.
What on the Disney Channel?
Oh, yeah.
What? Give me an example. What on the Disney Channel is about sex? Come on now, because America would be
guys and girls hooking up at school, kissing in the hallway, going on.
That's realistic. When you were in high school, did guys and girls not kiss in the hallway?
And what did that lead to?
It didn't lead to nothing. I kissed my boyfriend at my locker, and I wasn't having sex. I was an adult. No, I did not. I did not. And I didn't have sex till I was an adult. So, no.
That's because you chose it.
Exactly.
Hey, you know what? Hey, y'all. You know what? Not only that, you gotta think about it from the standpoint of, when we were younger, we weren't bombarded with images of sex on every instant that they can actually bombard us with.
Thank you.
You know, it's not as innocent as you would think nowadays. Even our regular commercial on TVs are sexually laced for these kids to have the impression of that. And like Al was saying, you know, we looking at all these young kids out here, like even Don was saying earlier, if a young guy today say, hey, I'm a virgin, he's ostracized. They looking at him like, man, you're a, you weak, you weird. Something wrong with you. You ain't got none yet. I mean, where are we right now in our society where a young man can't feel proud of being a virgin? And also for our young women.
I think that we're trying to, and it's, I'm really amazed by this conversation, you know, if I just may be frank, that I think that you guys are talking like the old people when we were young. Like, let's be realistic. It is not a new concept of the machismo. Let me finish my comment. It is not a new concept where, you know, guys are frowned upon because they're not sexual. That dates back as far as I can remember, and before me, to my father's time, and before him. It's always been expected of men to be sexual and for women to be virginal. That's not a new concept. And it's also a very unrealistic concept to sit here and say, well, when do kids, you know, don't make out, and, you know, that's always been, look at malt shops, look at the 1950s, lookout points became popular. Sex has always been a part of our society, and I think the problem is now that people aren't, instead of talking about it realistically, we still are capsized by it and afraid of it, or we want to talk about it in a fantasy mode. Like, it doesn't happen, and people aren't making decisions to have sex. By law, when you're 16 years old, you are legally responsible enough to make a decision to have sex.
Okay, so let me address a couple things. One, we're not saying that it hasn't always existed. What we're saying is that because of the excessive amount of exposure to it now, based on technology, based on how the country has just lacked on their, how the FTC has changed, that it needs to be addressed. We're not saying that people weren't having sex back then. We're not saying that people weren't talking about sex back then. But what we're saying is things need to change. Things need to be addressed. These people need to be properly educated about it. We're not saying that it's a new concept. That's the first thing.
Now,
the second thing about kids being legally able to have sex, guess what? In most states, and this goes into that education, in most states there are certain sexual acts that are deemed illegal that you can face criminal charges for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then also, you know, as far as to go back in the 70s, late 60s, 70s, and early 80s, the Freddy Kruegers, the Jason movies, the Halloween movies, all of those movies were created. You can actually look this up. Those movies were created to aim at teens to prevent them from having sex, because in those movies, when all those teens were about to get killed or hurt or somebody was about to get chased, they were doing what? Having sex.
They were having
sex. Teen retreats on campgrounds and parties to do what? Have sex. So what they did was they created
the only one that lived.
Monster to scare them from having sex. That was the premise of those movies. Not to
and
kill.
Did it work? Did it
no,
work?
It
no. Teen pregnancy has been on the rise ever since. Every year it gets worse and worse and worse.
I do understand that, but the thing in which we're looking at now as far as today, every time you flip a channel, every time you turn on the radio, every time you look on the internet, what's up there? A sexual ad or something showing more exposure of a human body for a child.
But people, let's not forget this. Sex is beautiful. Sex is the reason why we are here. But there is a context in which we should be able to display it to our children. Yes, we should be real with them and tell them what it is and what it's all about. But it starts with us also being properly trained in that manner to be able to talk to them about it. And also, just like I was saying earlier, if you don't know how to conduct yourself dealing with sex, how are you going to, you know, deal with your own partner?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. I mean, it's a lot dealing with it. Because, I mean, when I say the birds and the bees, we always think about teaching a young person. It's some grown-ass people, excuse my language, that don't know about sex.
Yeah,
don't know
very true.
And that's why we have so many people messed up in the mind. That's why we have so many young men that run through women like it ain't nothing but water. That's why we got many young women, like Don was saying earlier, that will lay down with everything that runs across them because it's nothing to them. It's not taught that it's precious. Because you think about it, if that girl laid like that in the clip we played earlier, if someone lays down with someone to get pregnant on that first time that they get pregnant, that may not be their soulmate. But guess what? They done lost two things. They done lost their life and virginity. Yes, some people do believe in abortions. I don't. But at the same time, those are three things they're going to lose if they do believe in abortion. They're going to lose their innocence as far as being a parent and killing the child. So it's a lot dealing with this three-letter word that we really got to be able to express to people.
Just to take it a slight step further, I think the biggest thing about the education of it, if you have the right education and you still make the decision to have sex, you're not making the decision under duress. You know what you're getting yourself into. I think if a lot of younger people saw a picture of what a vagina looks like that is riddled with crabs or herpes, they might not be so quick to just lay down in the back of a Chevy by the football field.
The Chevy.
And let the captain of the football team hump on them. If you're properly educated on what can happen, see, the problem is a lot of people, and this is not just young people, people our age, it's people a lot older, we believe we're Superman.
Mm-hmm.
We believe nothing's going to happen. Oh, I'm not going to get an STD. No. That's for other people. That would never happen to me.
I see now a trend with a lot of people, like a lot of young girls and guys are getting promise rings and giving them to, you know, exchanging them with their parents. Are you familiar with that, where you promise, you know?
Very familiar, but then you look at the cases of it, and you're on to something great with that, Jen. You really are. But you also have to look at the cases of it. Those same ones that have promise rings, just like you said earlier, are claiming their virginity, but they're still having oral sex, or they're having anal sex. Or how many? What's the percentage of those that are actually having babies within a year of making that promise or giving that promise ring? And once again, a lot of it is due to lack of education. You might do a little bit. If you know better, you might do a little better.
True.
Because it's a lot of grown people that don't know about sex.
Very true, Nick. Now, what about this next question right here? Just dealing with, why does society today makes it seem cool to have premarital sex? And we did, you know, express that a little bit dealing with the churches, and dealing with not just the church, but just society in general. It's to the point now, and I know, Jen, you say we sound like some old people up here talking, but, I mean, when you become an adult, man, you start looking at things what affects our next generation mostly. We have numerous diseases out there now. Diseases have skyrocketed in our teen population and our elder population. Have y'all heard about all the older people that are having sex because of Viagra, and a lot of older people are getting AIDS now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, y'all laughing, but that is a truth.
No, it's true. It's
on the rise. I have not heard of that.
But one, I will say this, and I remember I want to say it was Vibe magazine. It was one of those magazines that did an article on that. And they had a couple of quotes from some old people, and they were like, look, out of everything else that's going wrong with my body, herpes is the last thing on my mind.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I guess because when you're old, you just don't think that older people they don't have diseases, which is, you know, how it could be untrue.
Can't get it.
Yeah,
but you know, like I want to clarify something where I said like old. You know, like when I said you guys were talking old, I just think that a lot of times, you know, I know when I was younger, a lot of times sex was like approached or talked about by older people like in an unrealistic fashion. Like when you're 17 years old, you feel in your mind, or you're 16 years old, you feel in your mind that you are capable of making sound decisions. I don't think that you are, and maybe you don't realize that, you know, 10 years from now you won't have the same thought process or you know, think the same things. However, I think the approach needs to be a more realistic if you decide, because teens are saying, I can decide, and are making those decisions. If you decide, here are your options, here's what to do, maybe you shouldn't decide this, but if you do, you know, here's you know what you can do to have safe sex and sex in a more appropriate manner than in someone who isn't aware on condoms or contraceptives or birth control or such. And I think we shouldn't go through the route where just assume, well, don't have sex. Sex is bad. Like, you shouldn't do that, because a lot of teens are making the decision to have sex.
Okay, if you just now tuned in to Middle Men Show, the phone lines are open. You may dial 718-508-9972. Press 1 if you have a comment. But the next question at hand that we're going to discuss now, as far as, are parents to blame for our children becoming oversex due to not teaching them about sex and sexuality? Now, let's talk about sex and sexuality. Because now we see it more, you know, now, a lot of our children are experimenting with their sexuality. And by experimenting, they're doing what? Having sex. So, you know, are the parents to blame for our children becoming oversex? Is it not teaching them that?
A lot of our parents are oversex right now. I mean, you got 40-year-old women trying to sleep with 20-year-old men and 19-year-old men, 17-year-old men. I mean, it's sex-driven. A lot of them are just really thrown off like that.
And a lot of the parents are products themselves of, you know, they were teen parents, or and their parents before them were teen parents, and they weren't educated properly about sex. So to have expectations of the majority of these parents to properly educate the next generation after them that grew up in the same circumstances is a bit unrealistic.
Well, that's the thing about it. It's not the same circumstances. It's kind of like Kevin said a couple of weeks ago, with, I can only teach you based on my experience. Now, you got to look at our parents and our grandparents. The only thing they really had to work, because there wasn't real education about, one, there weren't as many STDs, or back then, like they called them, BDs. There weren't as many venereal diseases then as there are now. So, really, in essence, all they had to worry about was, okay, did she get pregnant? Okay, she's not pregnant, cool. Or if they did get something, back then penicillin took care of everything. But now the penicillin is in all of our food, we build an immunity to it. So it's not on the same level. They don't know how to deal with something. They don't realize that as parents, that dang, if my child has sex right now, there's a likelihood that they are facing 20 different diseases. That's before even getting to the pregnant part. You know, which goes back into their education. Just like Kev said, it's a lot of parents, they having reckless sex right now. You yep. got older women having sex with younger men. You got older men having sex with younger women. And yes, this stuff has always been around, but in today's time, with all these different diseases floating around, with everything that could possibly go wrong with you having sex, you know, it's just, and especially nowadays, people using sex as a weapon more than they've ever done. Sex is being used now more as a weapon than it has ever done. We use it to write books. We use it to get reality shows. We use it to get on TV. We use it to blackmail people. It's used more as a weapon now. And so it's just that lack of education is going to mess you up every single time.
Speaking of lack of education, I have another clip right here I want to get into, man. It's basically talking about, you know, how everybody learned. And it's from the show The Talk, what they have on, I forgot what channel it was, but y'all check this out right here. You all listening to The Middleman on Blog Talk Radio. Check this out.
Listen to this story. There's a group of high school students in Boston who are making news because they made a documentary demanding sex education in their school because they say the majority of their peers are learning about sex from adult websites. How did we all learn about sex?
By doing it.
Trial and error.
Yeah, they say you learn by your mistakes. In the school playground.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
Like chatter?
Talking. Yeah. You know, if you do this, it means this. And if you sit on the toilet this way, you could get pregnant. And it's like all of those ridiculous ways, not the right way at all. It's
what
no
about
way.
You?
It's no way for a child to learn about.
Yeah,
about
right.
I love that they're
actually taking control of their education, saying, you know, we need to learn the right way.
Listen,
right.
Girls should realize it's it's something that people don't like to speak about. You know, they say you can't catch cancer. Women can catch cancer. Mm.
With the virus.
With the virus.
Yes. Yeah.
And that should be taught in schools. And I think that if young girls learned that quite possibly they could, you know, lose their uterus, not be able to have children. Bye.
And I don't feel like we're, you know, kids are learning early enough, because I remember from my own experience, by the time they were teaching us sex ed, we were like, we know this already.
Yeah.
You know, right. And you're not doing it right.
Yeah.
Correcting the t-shirt.
And what about this? And what about that? Totally. You've missed that out.
Totally.
Yeah.
But these are high school age students who are asking for it, which I think is too late. I mean, I think we should be taught this in like fifth or sixth grade, this kind of stuff.
What's that, 11, 10?
I think about 11. The thought of having this conversation with an 11, like, makes me want to throw up.
Yeah.
Like, really, like, I don't, Holly, like, I don't know how, if you're doing, but it's so uncomfortable.
Oh,
but I think we have to have the conversation.
Yeah.
But also at the same time, do you think by having the conversation, does it say you should be doing this? Does it give them consent? You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't. It's the way that you
my
say it.
Yeah.
It's the way that it's put forth that it's you know, a fantastic thing. It's the best thing in life.
You can brand it properly. You can brand
and at the right time.
Right.
You can completely brand that conversation any way you want.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, they're going to learn how.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to teach them.
Right.
But if you come at them and talk about it, we joke about it. They go, oh, my God, Mom, I don't want to hear this. But I'm like, yes, and you put the this into this. Like, I'm very clinical about it.
Right.
Yeah. And then they have the information. They're going to take it away.
And peer pressure. They've got to be taught about peer pressure.
Right.
About knowing. And two, about realizing about how kids talk and tell everybody else in the school. Then you become the joke, and you're the slut, and you're this, and you're that. And meantime, you've done it because peer pressure.
And I do think we want to give them the information, but then I think about doing it and I get so scared, you know, like I feel like I want to try to make it casual, like they're like, okay, the penis goes in the vagina.
Okay, Sarah.
Can you
fast forward?
I say the thing goes in the thing, but okay.
Oh, you want to show the parts?
Oh, yeah, I do. I just didn't share with everybody. But.
Well, I figured that they knew.
But what about when there's now this new talk we have to have, which is the adult film talk. Like, I don't have any more talks. I can't do any more talks.
Right.
And that's really setting the bar high, because there's stuff on there that, you know, that even in my prime, I couldn't do. So.
Exactly.
Well, I feel like looking at my background, I learned two ways and opposite ends of the spectrum. Probably when I was maybe going into sixth grade, my older sister, who was 6 years older than me, she got out the World Book Encyclopedia.
Uh-huh.
Remember those plastic pages with, like, the human anatomy? And
mm-hmm.
she explained everything to me. Like, these are ovaries, and here's what happens. And then fast forward to eighth grade, and me and I told you about my best friend from childhood,
Marnie.
Keep it real. I guess Marnie was ahead of her time, because she showed me a porn.
What?
What?
An adult film.
What?
She said, have you ever seen adult film? I said, no. And she said, here, let me show you.
Was it on VHS?
Yes. It belonged to her mom. So hard, she said, you should see your face right now.
I don't think Marnie's mom's going to be laughing after she sees
she's
I think
not.
She will. No, you don't know her mom.
Marnie.
She'd probably say, that's right, I did. I showed Julie her first adult film. I remember smiling.
Did it frighten you, or did you
it
think
did.
It was funny?
No,
it frightened you.
It horrified me.
Yeah, I'm horrified that my kids would ever watch. Some of those films are very fetishy and creepy and weird. And I think you do got to teach your kid that's not real life.
You don't have to learn to do the sound effects.
Right.
And that was a clip right there about where did you learn sex from. I do apologize, Nick. I know you had to run out of the room. Run back. My bad.
I'm back. I'm sorry. Their voices sounded like the Golden Girls having a talk about sex.
You don't like Sharon Osbourne? Like,
yeah,
Ozzy Osbourne's
like Sharon Osbourne. I didn't like her when she had that show.
I like Sharon.
I mean, on MTV with a damn band. I don't like that. I don't like none of them.
You don't like Holly Robinson Pete?
No, I don't. I'm sorry, I don't like her.
Oh, wow.
I didn't like her on Hanging Mr. Cooper. I don't like her now. Didn't she get fired?
Yeah.
No, the show went off the air.
No, the show is not off the air because Cheryl Underwood is the host now. She took Holly Robinson's seat.
No, I'm talking about with Hanging with Mr. Cooper.
All right, enough of y'all down memory lane on television shows and talk shows now. Let's get back to this topic right quick. If you're just tuning in to the Middleman Talk Show, we are talking about the birds and the bees. The phone lines are open if you would like to have a comment out there. The number is 718-508-9972. Free weekends, people. Phone lines are open. Now let's get back into this last question.
Free weekends.
Yeah, free weekends, people. No, you got it. So go back into that last question again there, Al, so we can go ahead and complete this thought.
Now, as far as with our, you know, parents, does not educating them properly increase their chances of the child experimenting with their own sexuality?
Hey, one word that scared me the most, and Jen said it some years ago, trisexual. That's experimenting to the highest activity of experimentation. What
right.
is that? What's a trisexual, Jen?
Well, you know, someone who's willing to try anything.
No. Oh, we don't know.
Well... Wow. Well, you know, trisexual.
Hey.
I guess it would be, you know, someone who's bisexually open is more probably correct term. Where, you know, they, if it's a guy, you know, I think on the new episode of The Real World, they had a guy who was bisexual and he says, I check all the boxes. So a trisexual checks all the boxes. You know, girl, girl, boy, boy, girl, boy, boy, girl, you know, however you like it, you know, they're willing to try it.
Yeah, this conversation went south real fast.
Real quickly.
Okay. And now
Y'all
that I know what it is, I definitely don't want to know anymore.
But you know what?
Let me be realistic. Can I rewind this back?
Nah.
Over the last, I say, decade, there has been an open fascination with girl lesbianism. And many girls who are not lesbians will try girl-on-girl sex with other girls just to impress boys because they
don't
think
say that just to impress
boys.
Don't even, no,
sex.
No. They don't do that just to impress boys. They do it because it's something that was already in them and they just use it as an excuse to do it. You cannot say they do that just to impress
girls
boys.
Some girls are actually, in my opinion, I think that some girls are actually bisexual. However, I know girls that have had bisexual experiences just to have them to please a boy.
That's what they tell you because they don't want to come off as being, I already have them. No, they already think about that to begin with.
In this day and age where it's okay to be gay.
In this day and age, women are doing more to satisfy themselves than they are doing to satisfy men than they ever have. So that has nothing to do with it. They're doing it because it's something they want to do. And I get sick and tired of people not taking personal responsibility. If you want to do that, go do that. But don't sit up there and try to blame it on, oh, I was doing it to impress this guy.
Like,
or I was doing it to impress this girl. Just be real about it.
No. Many women do things to impress men. Men do things to impress women. I didn't say they were made to do it. I said they did it because they want to impress a guy or do it because a guy would think it's cool. Many men do things because women think, you know, to make, because he thinks
well,
women would
stupid.
Think it's
we
cool.
We know, hey, most guys will sit up there and say, I'm not going to pay rent this month, but I'm going to go out here and get some rims. They'll do that to impress, but somebody sit up there and say, I'm going to have sex with a girl because I want to impress my boyfriend or impress some guy I'm with. No, because that's something that they want to do. That's
yeah,
they want
to do it to impress their boyfriend. I didn't say
they
were forced.
They want to do it because they want to do it. I'm tired of people using that as an excuse. People need to take personal accountability.
True. It's very true. I know girls who have done it because they do it because they think it's cool. Lesbianism is the new cool. Guys think it's hot to see two girls. They just do. A lot of girls want to be considered hot. And I think that it's out of touch to think that women do not do certain things to impress guys. That's why so many girls have so low self-esteem that are having sex when they're not ready, that are performing oral sex because and they really maybe not feel 100% comfortable. They're doing it to fit in and they're doing it to be cool.
Well, if they doing it to fit in and be cool, that's a sad state we in
it
right
is.
Now.
It's a very sad state, but it's a reality.
Yeah, the reality is, though, you want to be honest, the reality is women get more persecution from other women than they do from men on certain things like that because guys will move on. Let's keep it completely real. Guys will move on. We're not going to sit there and harp on it forever. Okay, is she not giving it up? Other than those guys that sit there and the rapists. But for the most part, guys be like, okay, if she's not going to give it up, then somebody else will.
Yeah,
it's
so as a girl.
More often than not. What's that clip you always play, Kev? It's called self-esteem.
Yeah.
It is, but I'm just, no. Not as a 16-year-old girl who is trying to build self-esteem. You can't say that. A lot of girls will do a lot of things just because they want to fit in. Or I better top the next girl because if I don't do it, she will.
Hold on, Jen. Jen, truly, it is called self-esteem. Now, let me break it down to you. Jen, I will mute you. Hold up. I got this board. Chill out. Look here. As a man, if they had a father in their life or a male in their life that really cared about them, they will build them up from a young age until young adulthood. When they get faced with that situation, they will have enough self-esteem where they'll be like, hey, if you don't like me as I am, I ain't going to be with you. That's all it is. Simple as that. Because you don't have to lay down.
And those aren't the girls that we're talking about. Those aren't the girls that have the wonderful self-esteem, that have the positive role models in their life, that have positive self-images of themselves. We're not talking about those girls because those girls aren't getting pregnant. Those girls aren't having sex before they're ready. We're talking about the statistics of the young girl, the thousands of girls every day who are getting STDs and getting pregnant and are being sexually active before their time. We're talking about them.
You ever heard of
that's
good
who we're
girl.
Talking about.
You ever heard of good girl gone bad? You ever heard of that?
No.
There's a lot of good girls that go bad because of the same thing you just said right there. That's across the board. All girls, just like boys, have an option to choose to do what they want to do. They have examples in front of them by looking, listening, and paying attention. Now, do they make the right choice? No, not always. But they still have the opportunity to do the right thing. Now, you may say some may not have that self-esteem coming in the door. But somewhere along that line, if you sit up there and say, well, I'm going to sleep with this girl to be with you, then what else she going to do? She going to keep going out
yeah,
a slippery
and it's,
slope.
It's very sad. It's very sad, but it's a reality. So many of our young women, where I think that there is a problem with women's self-esteem and young girls learning self-esteem and someone teaching them what it means to be a woman, a confident woman, and to be important and the beauty and being a woman, a lot of girls are not learning this. They're becoming lost and they're making poor decisions. And people out there are ignoring it, talking about, oh, they should just have self-esteem. No, no, not when society tells them, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to, in their mind, they think these things. If they didn't, these statistics would not be real.
Well, Jen, let me say this much. And like I always say, I can only go by my experience. And guess what? At 16 years old, you know what society was telling me? That by the time you're 25, you're going to be in and out of jail and dead.
Mm-hmm.
But I made a conscious decision at 16, and I'm not sitting here, because I'm definitely not the smartest person on earth, so I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm smarter than anybody else. But I knew that if I don't want to end up like this, it don't take much. All you got to do is look at somebody who's doing something. And if you don't like that, don't do it.
And that's very nice.
And you know what? I know a lot of guys that grew up, and a lot of girls too, that grew up a lot rougher than I did, and they still made the choice that this is not going to be me.
Because y'all
but
know what
lot,
it is.
And
I
that's
know
good
people
for
that
those
grew up,
kids.
Jen, you know, y'all know what that's, it is. Y'all want to know what it is. It's
what?
It's called self-esteem.
I'm trying to let y'all understand
that's
what it is.
No, not for a young girl. not for younger. I think it's to not be taken as a joke. There are so many young girls out here who do not have self-esteem, who have poor self-esteem. It's a very big problem. And until people start to realize and recognize that women's self-image is have deteriorated to a point where we have so many young girls growing up alone.
Let me tell you something real quick, and I'm gonna stop talking after this, but let me just say this. I know some young women who grew up in circumstances that you would never be able to imagine. Never be able to imagine. Ever. And they still made the choice, this is not going to be me. It is still coming down to a personal choice. I'm not
that
saying the statistics aren't real.
I'm not debating that. Hold on, Jen.
Just hold on. I'm not saying that the statistics aren't true. I'm not saying that there aren't young women and young men that fall prey to this. I'm not saying that that's not true. But what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, you make a conscious decision. You just said 20 minutes ago that they have the legal right to have sex at 16. Well, guess what? They have the legal right and the moral right to say, look, I can either do this or I cannot do this. You have plenty of examples of what happens if you do the wrong thing. That's one thing that our society has a truckload of. You got plenty of examples of what not to do. You have to make that personal choice. And I think if a lot of people started taking personal accountability, that they would be a lot better off. Don't use society to blame what's wrong with you. You can either be a positive product of your environment or a negative product of your environment. And I know people that have come through much more than we could ever imagine, but because they made the conscious choice that I'm not going to be a statistic, because they took the personal accountability of it, they're in a lot better place. I understand what you're saying, but you still have to make that personal choice.
And I agree that a lot of kids make personal choices for right and wrong. However, I agree that a lot of kids don't believe they have a choice. If that wasn't true, we wouldn't have these statistics. Kids wouldn't be making these bad choices. A lot of kids don't believe that. And for the kids that don't have the strength to make that choice, someone has to stand up for them, for the little girl who does not see herself in that way or see herself as beautiful, you know, that may not have the strength as that other person had. Everybody's not strong. Everybody's not that strong. That's not everybody's story.
Statistics, if you go by statistics also say that black employment is at its highest during the Obama administration. If you go by statistics, let's just keep it real. That's what the statistics say, but the actuality is some of these niggas didn't want to work, period. They weren't working before he got in office. They're not trying to work. A lot of people got out of jobs when Bush was still in office, but it's all put on him right now. So if you're going by statistics, the one thing I love about statistics are a lot like a text message. They're up for interpretation. You can read it however you want to read it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, I don't agree, but you know, I just don't agree.
That ain't always the bottom line for what it is, but
I'm not talking about statistics. I'm talking about what we see with our own eyes.
Okay.
I'm not talking about what I read, I'm talking about what I see.
All right. Let's get back to the parents. Let's get back to the top. Okay? All right, y'all. All right. Jen had her Jen rave. This moment. Matter of fact, we at the point right now, we might as well just do the talk of the town. I'm going to say this to everybody that listened to the show today. We do appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in to this show. Once again, we're not all going off right now. Just keep tuned in. But
And ladies out there, if you are on the chat board, if you are on the line, if you are listening, please, a lady out there, press number one and back me up. We haven't had a show in a long time where it's been me against them.
So please, somebody out there, press number one. We ain't against you. All this war is me for the black woman or woman is just they got to stop. War is me. I'm a black woman.
Or man. If a man is out there and you feel me, please press number one.
Woe is me. I'm the black woman.
Please, press number one.
Well, man, let's get into talk of the town.
Nick, you ready for this talk of the town?
Yeah, man, I'm always ready for it. You already
know. It is. Talk of the town. Nick Eaton, y'all. Check it out.
What's up, world? This is your man, Nick Eaton, and I am here with the talk of the town.
Singer and actor Tyrese Gibson continues to promote his upcoming album, but recently ran into a bit of controversy while visiting a local radio station. According to Tyrese, he was discussing his album and single with the radio host when he casually mentioned that he noticed a liquor store near a school. He's quoted as saying, "I was just addressing it and speaking about it while I was on the air. I went on and on about this because I really have a problem with it." Tyrese goes on to document how during a commercial break, the radio personality was cursed at by the show's producers for allowing the singer to rant about the liquor store. The producer told Tyrese, "You can't go back on the air. You have to leave." Rapper Waka Flocka held his first annual celebrity bowling competition when another rapper confronted him and a fight broke out. While the original camera footage didn't capture much of the fight, TMZ obtained a new video which shows a lot more, including Waka Flocka putting a man to sleep. A man approached Waka Flocka and caught him with a right hand to the face before a scrap breaks out involving several people, ultimately ending with Waka Flocka's KO punch.
Waka!
This is your man Nick Eden, and this is the talk of the town.
You know you're stupid for that, right?
He really is, man.
You know you're stupid for that, right?
He really is.
Look, I don't make these things up. People just do this crazy crap, and I report on it.
Oh,
I saw the video too. Waka Flocka did put that dude to sleep, but he got a good hit off on him at the beginning.
Wow.
His hat flew a little
bit.
He got a good hit. He got a good solid one off on him. Pow.
Did he hit him with his belly or something?
Nah, he got him in the face.
Pow. I was talking about, you know, Waka Flocka looked like Damon Williams did on the Great White Hike with that belly angle.
Well,
man, that is so wrong.
Yeah,
hysterical.
But man, we appreciate everybody for tuning in today. I'll let everybody know what we talked about today, man.
Okay, everybody, we did have a great talk about the talk. Pretty much about if you're not educated within yourself about sex and sexuality as an adult, how can you teach others? How can you approach it to your child? How can you actually go about getting the questions that you don't know answered? Where should you go to look for those questions? And some of the questions that we asked today, if adults are not properly taught about sex, how can they educate others? Why do some people in modern society put a stigma on those who are virgins? And also in today's society, what makes it cool to have premarital sex? Why is it cool? And also, are parents to blame for children becoming overly sex due to not teaching them about sexuality? And also, do not educating ourselves properly about sex as far as adults, does this increase the chances of our children experimenting with their own sexuality? Great show today, people.
Yes.
Very good.
Matter of fact, make sure y'all download this show, spread it to your friends through emails. Make sure y'all tell someone, hey, I heard a great show. We wish you guys would take the time to comment sometimes. It's okay that you listen. I know you got something. We say something that hurt the nerve. Y'all probably be like, I know he didn't just say that. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. So y'all make sure y'all tune in every Sunday at 6 p.m., 5 p.m. Central, 6 p.m. Eastern. And on Thursdays, we are on at 8 o'clock. That's Eastern. Now, we're going to have to check your mic. What's going on with you, man? You sound like you're on a CD.
I'm like
you're
over there vacuuming.
I know.
Hey, look, man. I told y'all at the beginning of the show I wasn't feeling well.
Are you blowing your nose?
Look, man, I can't talk like I want to talk. Put it that way. I got to put it in country terms for y'all. I'm trying to talk with
you,
but I can't. Trying to use correct English and grammar and pronounce my word with the correct syllables.
I mean, we just hear the sound in the background. Do you have like a humidifier going or something?
Look, man. See, play the clip, man, so we can get up out of here.
What clip?
The outro.
Man, we got Yassa Boss. Yassa. Yassa. Where you, boss?
The middle men shouted, beat Chris shouted. Now I ain't sure what you was tuning in to. We'll pay attention to the real talk. What we here for, don't take a listen time out. Take a minute, shout in and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world, you destined to earn some. Linda, yeah, comment on what you hear. Let's figure out that master plan and put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate. Don't guess you got a will to do way better than you were doing. Well, then you fortunate. Take a stand, stop complaining about what you ain't got. Hating on the next man, cause he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in, go live, 6 p.m., blogtalkradio.com. The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle men. Hey, what's happening? The middle men. Hey, what's happening? Blogtalkradio.com. The middle men.
Now, you talk to me one more again like that. I said one more again. I'm gonna
put the motherfucker face
real quick, like, cause it's gonna happen. It's gonna go down. Don't talk to me like that no more.
Will the middle men be all four back next week? Will this thuggery continue on for another 7 days?
And this is what I'm going to do in return.
Put the motherfucker on face!
Well, we'll just be two cats sitting up here. Just
put the motherfucker on face!
It's all going to be happening, man. I'm just saying. A whole lot of that.
Yeah, but one person going to get this right here, though.
But it ain't gonna me because you know I'm always
winning.
Yes. Going down.
Will Al and Kevin ever stop punching the buttons?
Tune in next time.
Will the power bill for the middleman talk trophy through the roof?
Hey man, we appreciate y'all. Y'all make sure y'all check next Sunday what's going down. And also
hey, y'all better check it out Thursday too.
Yeah, I was just about to say Thursday.
It's 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
8 o'clock.
Eastern, 7 p.m. Central.
Not Valentine.
I don't know why Jen talking the other time. She had came up coming from. I thought it was at 10 o'clock.
Right. I was on Mountain Time. Okay, I was on Mountain Time.
Clearly,
this is like today, 30 minutes late. Yeah.
I was 4 minutes late. I was 4 minutes late. Come on.
Hell
I should
yeah,
have like
yeah,
a 7 minute grace period. Dang. Gosh, I haven't even had coffee
right
or anything.
Well, see how that works. See how many people we lose as listeners if we got 7 minutes of dead air next week.
Hey, y'all.
Come
on. That's one up, one down.
Yeah, one out, man. Peace.